In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we heard the parable today of the prodigal son. It's a parable that's given to us by the Lord to consider on our journey to Pascha. This is a journey, as we said last Sunday, from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. A journey from believing ourselves to be the center of the universe, to realizing that God is the center of all things. And we spoke about how the church gives us wonderful cycles so that we might be incorporated into the ongoing life of Christ. The Lenten cycle, the Paschal cycle, is at the very heart of all of the cycles. But we come off, just now, another cycle, the Nativity cycle. Remember that this began with our Advent season, our preparation for the Lord's birth, December 25th. Then we celebrated the circumcision on the eighth day. We celebrated the Theophany, the manifestation. And now, some 40 days after the Nativity, we celebrate this feast of the meeting of the Lord in the temple. Just this past week, we had the feast, and we continue in the post-feast. This is really a marvelous feast, this meeting of the Lord, although it's perhaps one of the least known feasts. It ranks among the 12, but many times people don't understand what this feast is all about. And today we'll say something about this meeting of the Lord in the temple. And we do this because before we start a new cycle, we have to finish the last cycle well. We have to finish strong to start strong. So, perhaps it would be best to start by reading the scripture lesson from the day. And it's short. I'll read it to you now. This is from the Gospel of St. Luke. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is to be opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This practice of presenting the young male children into the temple is something that we as Orthodox Christians are familiar with, not just for young boys, but also for girls. Everyone knows that on the 40th day, the mother and the child are churched. They're brought back into the Lord's temple, and they're presented. And the child is received in whose arms? But the arms of the priest. And the priest recites this prayer of Simeon. There's a connection between the events in the life of the Lord and the events in our own lives. This takes place in the liturgy and the worship of the church. But to really understand the significance of this event that took place for the Lord and takes place for each and every one of us, we have to look a little bit deeper. We look back into the Old Testament, where this practice first originated. Does anyone know when the practice first originated? Where do we hear of the firstborn in the Old Testament? Think about Egypt. Think about Pharaoh and Moses and the plagues. What was the final plague? The striking down of all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, right? All the firstborn of men and all the firstborn of the animals. They were struck down because Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And this was the only thing that would deliver the Israelites from his slavery. And what were the Israelites commanded to do so that their firstborn would be saved? They were to slaughter a lamb. Right? And what were they to do with the blood of that lamb? That's right. Cover their doorposts so that the angel of death would pass over them. Right? Passover. It's a very significant term. The angel of death would pass over. And now the Israelite people passed over then through the Red Sea into the Sinai Peninsula first and then finally into the Promised Land. And this was the Passover, their great celebration of the year. And God told them to keep this as a festival, a reoccurring feast, so that they would remember what he had done and what he was to do for them. Because there was a Passover to come. And one of the things that God required of the Israelite people to keep them in remembrance of the cost of this Passover was that he required the firstborn of every family, all the tribes, to be given to him. And these firstborn sons would serve first in the tabernacle and then in the temple. They were to be his priests. Think about how difficult that must have been. It was difficult for the Egyptians, without question. It was also difficult for the Israelites. Every family had to give up their firstborn son to serve the Lord. Very difficult. Very strong remembrance of the cost of deliverance. But God is a compassionate God. And what did he do for the Israelite people? He allowed them to redeem their firstborn. That instead of leaving their children to serve as priests, they were able to bring a lamb, or if they were poor, two turtle doves or two pigeons. And they would offer these instead, and they would bring their sons back home. But who would serve as the priests? The Lord established the Levites, the tribe of Levi, to serve as the priests. And they retained the integrity of their tribe. They remained together. And it was easier for them to bear. So we have a connection here between Passover and the firstborn, the lamb and the priests. This event of the meeting of the Lord takes place in the temple, and it takes place with certain characters. Who were the two characters that were there beyond the Lord's mother and the elder Joseph and the Christ child? Who were the two other characters that were there? Simeon, the elder, the righteous, and the prophetess Anna. They were waiting in the temple, and they were looking for the Messiah, the Christ. What do we know about the elder Simeon? Saint Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain, who was a wonderful student of the scriptures and the writings of the fathers and their commentaries. He says of elder Simeon that there are multiple traditions about who exactly he was. Some say that he was a priest, or perhaps even the high priest. Others say he was the father of Gamaliel, the law teacher who had instructed St. Paul. Still others say that he was the president of the Sanhedrin Council. And still others say that he was one of the 70 translators of the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek. When did that take place? The 3rd century B.C., long time ago, right? This took place under the reign of King Ptolemy, who oversaw the large, wonderful library in Alexandria and had the collection of all these manuscripts and scrolls from all over the world, and he desired that the Hebrew scriptures be included. But the Alexandrians spoke Greek, so he wanted the Hebrew scriptures translated into Greek, and he sought the best scholars to undergo this translation. And there were 70 of them selected, and they all worked on translations separately. When they came together, their translations perfectly corresponded. And this was seen to be a divinely inspired translation from Hebrew into Greek, not just by the Greeks in Alexandria, but also by the Jews who lived in Alexandria. This Septuagint was highly revered, as an accurate and, if you will, perfect translation from Hebrew into Greek. Now, in this tradition about St. Simeon, it says that he was one of these 70, and he came across this passage from Isaiah. And this passage was Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. And it said in the tradition that Simeon stumbled at this translation, that he had difficulty believing it, because virgins don't have children. It doesn't happen that way. He wasn't a doctor, but he was an average person, and everybody knows virgins don't have children. He said it's better to translate this that a woman or a young lady shall have a child. And the tradition says that Simeon was met by an angel who said, "Write the translation as it says, and you won't die until you see this take place." Now, whether or not Simeon was one of these original translators is not known. It's within a tradition in the church, but there are other traditions. But for this Simeon, who was looking for the coming of the Messiah, he was looking for the one who would be born of a virgin. Because this is what the prophet Isaiah said. This is what the Hebrew and the Greek scriptures recorded. He was looking for this virgin to come with a child. And he knew that if he remained in the temple, all the firstborn would be brought there. Right? It was still commanded of everybody to bring their firstborn sons. He knew that he would find this Messiah among them if he waited and if he looked. But where was he to find a virgin with a child? How was he to find this? Simeon, who had been in the temple for a long time, was familiar with many of the young girls, because pious families would bring their girls to the temple and its compound, which had housing there for those who were supporting the work of the temple. And they would leave them there in kind of a boarding school to prepare them for being married and raising children and serving the Lord piously. The elder Simeon saw all of these young girls, and he hoped that maybe one day one of them would give birth to this Messiah, his chosen one. Now Simeon, being in the temple all of the time, looking for this Messiah, was well aware of the fact that one virgin, one young girl, wanted to remain a virgin all of her life and stay in the temple. Who was this?
Mary.
Mary. The young child Mary, who was brought by Joachim and Anna into the temple at a young age, the age of 3. She lived there until she was just about a teenager, and she wanted to remain there. But what had to happen? She had to, by law and by custom, be married off. But what do you do with a young girl who wants to remain a virgin, who custom and law dictates has to be married off? You marry her to someone who's so old that her virginity will be kept intact. And they chose the elder Joseph, a man who was previously married, had children, and was now beyond the age of, well, you know. So this elder Joseph receives this young child, and cares for her as a guardian, preserving her virginity. Simeon is aware of this. And think about Simeon on this day. Every day he's looking at these young children who are brought in. And on this day he sees something truly amazing. He sees this young virgin girl with her guardian coming in with a child. With a child. As the firstborn. And Simeon, who's filled with the Holy Spirit, begins to realize, this is the Christ. This is the one. He makes the connection between the firstborn and the virgin birth. And Blessed Theophilus tells us that this connection is actually very strong. He says that according to the law, every male child that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. We just heard this in the scripture reading. But Blessed Theophilus says, only with Christ did this literally occur. He himself opened the womb of the Virgin at birth, while all other wombs which had borne a child had first been opened by a man. Are you following this? Only with Christ is he truly the firstborn that opens the womb, because he's born of the Virgin. The prophecies are fulfilled in Christ. And Simeon receives this Christ child in his arms. But Simeon makes even more connections, enlightened by the Spirit of God. Because Simeon remembers what this whole firstborn was all about, and how the Israelites were saved, and how they were called to dedicate their children to become priests. And he makes the connection between the historic Passover and the Passover that was to come. The deliverance from slavery in Egypt to the deliverance from slavery to death. He makes the connection between the Lamb and the priest. Christ being the Lamb of God and the great high priest. Simeon makes the connection between the redemption and the Redeemer. He realizes that what he holds in his hand, who he holds in his hand, is the Pascha, is the Passover, is the Messiah, is the Deliverer, is the Son of the Virgin, is the Son of God, is Emmanuel, God with us. And he says, Lord, let me depart in peace, for I have seen it all. I've seen everything. But he gives one prophecy before he departs in peace. He speaks about one thing that connects all the dots. A symbol. What's the symbol that connects the old and new Passovers? The Lamb and the priest. God and man. What's the symbol? The cross. The cross. That symbol that stands between the Old and New Testaments, the cross. And he says that this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. The cross will be rejected. What does St. Paul say of the cross in relation to the Jews? Stumbling block. How about to the Greeks? Foolishness. But how about to those who are being saved? It's the wisdom and the power of God. As we prepare ourselves to go from this nativity season to this paschal season, the season where we go through the cross into newness of life, it'd be good for us to consider the words of Saint Athanasius the Great, who writes about this cross, this sign. He says, the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed means that the cross of Christ, his passion, would reveal all the inner dispositions of men. Since Peter, now out of warmth and zeal, would deny him. The disciples would desert him. Pilate would express regret by washing his hands. His wife would believe through a dream at night. The centurion would believe from the signs. Joseph and Nicodemus would be occupied with the matters of the funeral. Judas would hang himself. And the Jews would give money to the guards to conceal the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare to go through the Lenten season, Holy Week and Pascha, coming off of this Nativity season, let us make sure that our hearts are right with God. That we embrace this cross, which alone brings us from earth to heaven, from death to life. Which alone brings the Passover, because this cross is the symbol of our redemption and our Redeemer, of the Lamb and the great High Priest. It is the symbol of the Messiah, the Chosen One, the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God.